Well, an honor to be able to look into the Word of God with you. Our title tonight is God's Fire Never Sleeps in His House. Let's pray for His Word tonight. Lord, we love Your Word. We love to look at Your Word, to eat of Your Word, to meditate upon Your Word, to just open our ears to hear what You would want to say. And tonight, God, we want to honor You in Your Word. And we ask that You would impart a holy fire for Your house and a holy fire for Your Word that would change us, that would cause the salvation of the Lord to come into Your house. Tonight, we ask that You would do this, accomplish Your work in our hearts that only You can do. In Your name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, God ordained that His house would be a place where people would come to meet with Him, to be changed by Him. In recent days, I have been stirred with a thought that we need to get people into the house of God. We need to get people into the presence of the Lord, that His fire would touch their lives, that in the presence of His fire, that in His presence, He would bring His salvation, and He alone would bring His freedom. And of course, we know that His presence lives within us, that we can experience the presence of the Lord no matter where we are, what we are doing, where we find ourselves. But the Word of God teaches us that there is a special blessing. There is a special anointing that the Lord has reserved for His house, that when we gather together as a people of God, that He pours out in a unique way. It is important, and we are admonished to understand that tonight. In Psalm 87, verse 2, it says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." God is passionate for the dwelling place of His church, the gates of Zion. And since the beginning, God ordained that His tabernacle, His house, would be a place where His people would gather together to worship and to be changed into His image. Exodus 25 to 27 is the account of God's instructions to Moses to build a tabernacle where His presence would reside at all times. And within this tabernacle, we know that there was specific items of furniture that God commanded Moses to build, specific items that each had their own significance and their own purpose. One of these items was the golden lampstand. God gave clear instruction that a golden lampstand was to be built with seven lamps placed upon it. And these lamps gave light to the tabernacle. There is much significance and much imagery that can be drawn from the pure gold lampstand and the lamps that stood upon it, as we heard this morning. What a tremendous word. One of the most important items to note regarding these lamps is that God commanded, He ordained, that these lamps were to be filled with pure oil so that the lamps would be kept burning day and night at all times. This pure oil which produced the fire, which produced the light, it symbolizes the oil of the Holy Spirit. And God ordained that the light in His sanctuary, that the fire in His house would never go out, it would never die. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 to 21. "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel." The only way this fire could burn at all times was by a continual supply of pure oil and by trimming the wicks. The purpose of the lamp of God within His house, the purpose of His fire, is that people would eagerly desire to draw near to His presence. That people would eagerly desire to draw near to the felt presence, to the very fire of the presence of the Lord, to be changed by Him, to hear His voice, to walk out in the manner that He has called us to walk out. That in the very presence of His light and His fire, we would worship Him and be transformed into His image, alive with a fresh, continual supply of His fire. I want to look at the life of Samuel a little bit tonight Samuel is a beautiful example of one who experienced the fire of God in God's temple, and it produced a powerful ministry, a life where his words were the very words of God, and many were touched by his ministry, were touched by the Spirit that was upon him. You see, the truth is that we are responsible as the church of God to ask for and to respond to the fire of God in his house. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is urging in this day specifically for us to pray for and to bring people into the house of God that they may be touched by his fire. May we pray for, may we invite the people in. May we ask God to pour out of his grace that they would begin to hear their name in his presence, that they would know longer who they are and what their identity is and what the call is upon their lives, that all the wonderings and the confusions and the questions would cease in the fire of God in his house. You see, there are people that are going to walk in here because we have invited them or because the Lord has directed them through our prayers. I believe that there are people who have said, I will never set foot in a church. There are people who have said these words, I will never go to church ever again. The church has done this. I don't believe in the God who is living. There are people who have said, I will never set foot in a church. I will never walk into a church. But if we as the people of God can heed the word of the Lord and respond to his fire in his house, we will begin to see these people walk into his house and begin to experience the fire of God and begin to call out for his salvation, for his change. Can you believe for that with me? Would you even now begin to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to open your heart, to begin to reveal to you perhaps someone in your life that he is calling you to pray into his house and into his presence? God's lamp is always burning. God's fire never sleeps in his church. There are three ways we are called to receive and respond to his fire in his house. Number one tonight is ignite a passion for God's house and his kingdom. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. We know this story very well. Samuel's mother, Hannah, dedicated Samuel to the temple of the Lord, to the ministry of the Lord, as a very young boy. He lived and he was found continually in the house of God. He remained close to the lamp that was ever burning in the temple of God. It says in this verse that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. We are told earlier on in chapter 2 about the priest Eli and his sons and how his sons had such disregard for the temple of God. They had such disregard for the very presence of God. Impurity was rampant among them. And perhaps it was because of this impurity that the Lord decided not to draw near, that the Lord decided not to speak as often in that day and age. While we too live in a day where impurity is rampant, where it is all around us, we do not live in a day where the word of the Lord is rare. How many are thankful for that? The continual anointed worship music that is being released in this house and across the nations, the prophetic ministry that comes to minister over the house of God, the word of God as it is spoken, as it is preached, in our own personal times with the Lord, as we worship, as we look into the Word, God is speaking. The Word of the Lord is not rare in our day and age. When we come into God's house and He releases the fire of His presence, may it ignite a holy passion, a holy desire for His church, for the lost, and for His kingdom. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 45. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. One of the things that can be said about the believers of the early church is that they were passionate for the church of God. They were passionate to gather together, to come under the ministry of the word, to worship together, to fellowship, to break bread, to pray together. They were so passionate for this. The word of the Lord and the fire of his presence is not rare in these days. We are so blessed to live in a day where the Lord draws near, where he speaks to us. May we respond appropriately to the fire of his presence and ask for a passion for the lost, that Christ would build his church in the name of Jesus. The second response to his fire is number two, receive the pure oil and trim the wicks of our lives. In Exodus chapter 27, God commanded Aaron and his sons to tend the fire of his lamp so that it continued to burn at all times, day and night, that it would never go out. Fresh, pure oil had to be poured into these lamps, but they also had to trim the wicks to ensure that the fire burned bright and pure. Have you ever tried to light a candle that has a really long wick on it without trimming it first? A wick that is too long, it produces a lot of smoke. The fire is not pure. There's a lot of soot that makes a terrible mess. If the wick of our lives is not trimmed of the excess, of the stuff that is not useful, we are only producing a lot of smoke. The holy fire will not be evidenced very much in our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 to 10. And it came to pass at that time, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." There is a still small voice that will speak in the house of God if we are eagerly desiring to listen to it, to hear it. It was in the house of God where Samuel first learned how to discern the voice of God and to obey his commands. You see, God is wanting us to be positioned in his house and in his presence so that we would hear his voice and that we would be transformed. Samuel was able to hear the voice of God. He was able to respond to him because he was a young man who loved the house of God. He loved to serve and to minister unto the Lord. There was no higher affection in Samuel's life. The only way that the fire of God can fill us is if we are willing to receive the pure oil that wants to cleanse us. If we are willing to cut away the wicks, the excess, the waste of ungodliness, of any pride, of any unbelieving spirits or independent spirits. When we find ourselves in worship and under the ministry of the word, are we listening so that he can purify us and trim the wicks of our lives, that he can mold us into his image? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, we eagerly desire to hear your voice. We eagerly desire that you would come and burn away what doesn't belong, that you would pour in the pure, fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. We eagerly desire, Lord, that you would cut away, that you would trim the waste, that you would take away the things from our lives that do not belong, that might even be hindering the flame of God's presence to be burning within us. This waste material needs to be cut away. The fresh and the pure oil of his Spirit, it causes God's fire to burn within us and to burn through us, but it requires that the wicks upon our hearts, upon our minds, they must be trimmed so that a brighter flame of God's presence can set his church ablaze, can set his people ablaze. The believers in the book of Acts are such tremendous examples for us. They were united, it says. They were not divided in their affections, in their commitments, in their faithfulness to the ministry of the Lord, to honoring one another, to serving one another, to helping Christ to build his church. They responded to the teaching of God's word. They allowed the Lord to change them so that they would reflect his image. When we cry out for the glory of God, for the fire of God to fill his house, we have a responsibility to respond to God's fire. There was a still small voice that Samuel heard in the tabernacle. And once he said, "Speak, Lord, I'm hungry for your voice," that still small voice became loud and clear to him. Have you heard the still small voice in God's house at any time? The voice that comes to stir our hearts. The voice that comes even to bring a conviction upon our lives, to show us the ways, the areas that just are not producing anything but smoke in our lives. The still small voice that wants to stir us to walk in the manner that he has set out for us, to show us how we can reflect his fire. Verse 3 tells us that Samuel was laying down when God began to speak. May we be in a posture of receiving the word of the Lord near the burning lamp of his presence, no matter how tired or how weak or how discouraged we might feel. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the ramparts and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Psalm 85, verse 8, I will hear what God will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. In our passage in 1 Samuel chapter 3, God speaks to Samuel four times. The first three times it was a still small voice. However, the fourth time it says that the Lord came and stood, and he called to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel." For God to come and stand before Samuel, it is intimating here that not only did Samuel hear the voice of God, but there was some appearance of the divine glory of the very presence of God that stood before him. Like Revelation 1:12 says, it was almost as if Samuel could now see the voice that spoke to him. How many here ask for the voice of God to not only be heard, but we say, "God, we don't want to just hear your voice, but we want to see your glory as well." Are you hungry for the voice of God to be heard, but for his glory to be seen? When we say, "Speak, Lord," for we are ready to listen, we are ready to receive the pure oil that would burn away the darkness, that would burn away the chaff, that would burn away anything that is not pleasing to my Lord and Savior. When we say, "Speak, Lord, come and cut the wick of our lives, cut the wick of our hearts and of our minds, any waste that might be upon our lives, that we might have a greater fire of your presence burning within us," God will meet us. He will speak, and he will fan the pure flame of his fire so that not only will his voice be heard, but his glory will be visible in his house. Amen. Number three tonight, the final thing is bring the pure flame to the lost. When we respond to God's fire, may we be stirred to carry his presence and his pure flame to the lost. When we tell people that we are a Christian, do they see a life that is ablaze with a pure flame, or have we not cut away the excess of our wicks, what does not belong, so that perhaps the only thing they see is smoke and a cloudy image of the fire of God? If we are only bringing smoke, church, it is not very useful for people to see the image of God within us. They cannot tell if we are a pure Christian. What are we showing to those who do not know the Lord? A pure flame of God's presence or a cloudy image that probably is not very appealing to them? A pure, bright flame is something worth seeing. People will notice that. They will take notice of that, and they will be drawn to us and say, "What makes you glow? What makes your life ablaze?" What is one of the greatest ways for the pure and holy fire of God to be evidenced to others? Through the words that we speak and through our actions. 1 Samuel 3:19. After Samuel began to discern the voice of the Lord, it says that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. When the fire of God is in our hearts, his word will be in our mouths as well. Eli taught Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, that I might hear your words." What a powerful lesson for us. We need to hear the Lord's words. We do not have the ability in ourselves to order our own speech. Isn't that the truth? We do not have the ability, church, to be able to speak blessing and life and wholeness into every situation around us. In and of ourselves, it is impossible. We need the holy language of God to be in our mouths. Samuel grew up learning the holy language of God. What a great lesson for us. May we teach our children, may we teach the young people the importance of their words, for them to place importance upon the words that they speak. They are important. When Samuel first heard the still small voice, it shows us three times that he got up and he ran to Eli. But in verse 9, when he understood that it was the Lord speaking, he did not get up and run. Rather, he lay there still, understanding that the voice of God was something to be reverenced. He lay there still and he silenced everything within him so he could catch every word that God wanted to speak to him. He understood the importance and the reverence and the sacredness of God coming to speak to him. May we discipline our thoughts. May we discipline the desires of our hearts to be still when the Lord is speaking to us. Verse 19 says that Samuel grew. He increased in wisdom as he spent time in God's house near the fire and the continual burning lamp of his presence. God commissioned Samuel to speak to the people he placed in his life. And because Samuel chose the divine words of the Lord, God gave him favor with the people, and the fire of his presence shone through him as a burning light to Israel. May the Lord impart his pure flame to us, that our words would have favor with those that he has placed in our lives, that he is desiring to bring his salvation and his freedom to. We are familiar with James chapter 3. It speaks about the importance of our tongues and our words, the difficulty in taming our tongues, the difficulty and the severe discipline that it takes, and how we need the fire of God in our mouths to help us discipline the very words that we speak. We must stop every word that is not bringing life from ever flowing out of us. Let us be challenged to speak into the broken. Let us be challenged, church, to speak into the lost, to speak into the confusion, to speak into the weariness and the anxiety, into the hurting, with the fire of God's presence and his love leading our words. In Acts 2:46-47, it says that they continued daily in the temple, praising God with their mouths at all times. And because of this, they had favor with all the people, it says. The very presence and the pure fire of God poured out of these believers in such a manner that it was pleasing to the Lord. And this is what it says: because it was pleasing to the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. You see, the holy and the pure words that come out of our mouths, they are directly connected with us having favor with the salvation of the Lord coming upon those people who do not yet know him. The Lord let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. I pray that as we each gather into the church of God and experience his holy fire that never sleeps, that we would allow the pure oil to purify us, that we would allow the Lord to trim the wick of our lives so that his fire would touch not only our hearts, but that his fire would touch our mouths in such a way that we would have favor upon people outside of the church, that they would begin to flow into the river of God. They would begin to flow into the house of God, and they would fall to their knees and receive the salvation of the Lord for their lives. As we respond to God's fire in his house, our prayers will not fall to the ground. as we respond to the fire of God in his house, how our prophetic words of the scriptures will not fall to the ground. As we invite people to church, as we offer the bread of the Lord, our words will not fall to the ground. May we pray, church. May we invite people into his presence, into his house, so that they can hear who they are in Christ. Last year for our women's conference, I invited a friend of mine who was not a believer to come. And she was so overwhelmed with the felt presence of the Lord. It was undeniable that it radically changed her outlook on the church, on Jesus Christ and who he was. And to this day, she continually desires, after walking in that connection, walking in that presence of the Lord. This year, I have heard testimonies of several women who are inviting their family members, who are inviting co-workers and people who do not know the Lord to the conference this year. In church, we are beginning to pray and we are beginning to speak into these stony hearts that in the fire of his presence, that the Lord would release a brand new spirit, that the Lord would release eyes to be opened and hearts to be softened and minds to wonder about how good the Lord is, that his salvation would come in the name of Jesus. God cares about the fire burning in his church. He cares about the fire burning in our lives. He cares about us inviting the people in. He cares about us praying the people in. God has a plan. I pray that we would respond to his fire and respond to the plan. We've been hearing so many testimonies of those who are being saved and transformed in this church. Are you blessed by these testimonies? Does it bring a greater faith to your spirit when we hear these testimonies? One woman in particular who was recently saved for years, her family invited her to church, and finally she responded to the urging of the Lord a few months ago, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And not only did she give her heart to the Lord, but now the Lord is burning within her, is awakening within her, and she has such a desire, such an awakening, such a hunger to learn after the ways of God, to get into the Word, to get into his presence as much as she can. These are the miracles, church. Jesus is moving. He is speaking, and in the light of his presence, in the light of his fire, he is the one who is changing lives. Glory to God tonight. Let's have the worship team return, please. I want to leave us tonight with this one testimony in particular that was given to me by one of our faithful church members. About 3 years ago, my best friend was diagnosed with cancer. It was devastating for all of us. She'd been raised in the church but was not walking with the Lord. The Friday before her surgery, I prayed for her that the Lord would guide the surgeon's hands and also that he would reveal himself to her husband through the whole process. He had come from a Catholic background but had nothing to do with church and was angry with God because his father had passed away when he was a teenager. A tumor the size of a baseball was removed from her colon along with several lymph nodes. Before going home from the hospital, the doctor told her that when he was beginning to cut the colon, he was really going in blind. Had he tilted the knife slightly, he would have hit a polyp and she would probably not be alive today. When her husband heard that, his response was, "Maybe there is someone up there looking out for us." In August of 2016, she was informed that there was now cancer in her liver that had appeared to be growing quite rapidly. That October, she had 5% of her liver removed. At that point, they believed she was cancer-free. However, by late spring, early summer of 2017, there was a possibility of cancer on the colon again. Treatments began again, causing severe damage. In January, she went for more scans. The liver was good, but cancer was found in another area. It was devastating news again. Throughout all this time, I'd been praying for her and talking to her about the Lord. On February 5th, she called me early in the morning and told me she thought she was going to die that day, and she needed to get her affairs in order. My husband and I headed to their place. We prayed before we went into the house that the presence of the Lord would be with us. I went right to her and said, "This is about getting your affairs in order, but it's your spiritual affairs that you need to get in order." She said she'd asked God to forgive her and that she hoped she'd go to heaven. We prayed with her before we left at the end of the day, asking the Lord to give her the peace that passes all understanding. The following week, she told me that her husband had told her he was willing to do whatever she needed him to do during this time. She told me my husband said he would never set foot in a church, but I'm going to ask him if he'll come with me. That Sunday morning, I saw her and her husband enter the church. At the end of the service at altar time, I leaned over and told her she wanted to go forward, I would go with her. She immediately moved to the front. Right away, one of the district pastors came to pray with us, and she gave her heart to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had been waiting so many years for this, and I asked her husband what he thought of the service. He said, "It wasn't what I expected. I have to be honest, it's not my thing, but I came with an open mind." Well, he has continued to come with his wife for the past 4 weeks. He told her this past week that he did not think this would be the Sunday that he went forward, but that it was coming. We are so amazed at how God has changed his heart from not wanting to acknowledge God, being angry with him, to talking about soon he's going forward to the altar. He has told one of his sisters and a brother that he is going to church. He was even talking about it with a guy at work. This is her testimony of salvation, and she is claiming full healing. And we are claiming her husband's salvation as well in the name of Jesus tonight. Church, Jesus is moving, and he is building his kingdom. We have no idea sometimes of who walks in to this place and what they are going through. But this is a powerful testimony that when they walk in, the fire and the presence of God is being revealed to them. God's fire never sleeps in his house. Would we be awakened to that in a greater measure tonight? Would we begin to hunger after his fire to burn in a greater measure tonight, that he would add to his house daily those who are being saved? We believe not just once a month, not just once here and there. And I know that that is a bold statement tonight, but church, would we believe tonight that he is the God of miracles? Would we believe tonight that he has a plan for Christ City, that he has a plan to cause our walls to be called salvation and his gates praise? There are many people who say they have been hurt by the church. They do not believe in the God who is living. But when they walk into his house and into his presence, the fire of the Holy Spirit has the ability to melt the stony hearts, to awaken the truth of God within them, to cause the decisions to be made for salvation. I am so thankful tonight that the lamp in the tabernacle is always burning. May the Lord draw people into his house through our prayers, through our lives, and our invitations by his mercy. Let's stand together tonight. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that your fire is living. It is always moving, God. We are so thankful that it is ready to move through us to see your salvation. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir us tonight, that our lives would always be aflame with the fresh, pure oil of your fire, oh God. We believe that this is the day of consecration, that we would see our God do amazing things among us. May this be the day for a passion for your house to increase. May this be the day of your salvation, Lord. Let it be done according to your will. By your mercy, by your grace, and for your glory alone tonight. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Church, let's worship the Lord tonight. If you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord, we encourage you to come forward. We would love to pray for you that this would be the day of your salvation. If you're here tonight and you have need for anything, we would love to pray for you. But come on, in his presence, the fire of his altar is burning ever bright. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to set our lives ablaze with a greater fire tonight than we would ever have thought possible for his glory. Amen.